Good morning. Really honored to be able to come and preach this morning, continuing our series of Proverbs. We'll be today in Proverbs chapter 3, these first 8 verses. As we start, I've got a quote for us, get our brains moving in the right direction. There's a poet and journalist in France in the early 1900s, first name Antoine. His last name is very difficult, and so we're going to call him Antoine. And he wrote this. He said, "If you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea." You see what he's getting at? Yes, there's a time for the what, for the how, for the building of the boat. But if there's not a why, it's less likely that work will be done. And if it is done, it may not be done all that well or with much joy or craftsmanship. We've been in Proverbs, I think this is the 5th week, and we are still in the introduction. And I don't know about you, I've never spent 5 weeks in the introduction of Proverbs before. And buckle up, because we're not done. There are 9 chapters of introduction here. What are we doing? Why? What is there to say? My son, I have something to tell you. Didn't say it, right? Where's the advice? That's what comes next, the advice, the commandment, the wisdom. But we don't have that. We have a lot of these speeches and these addresses to the son. I think the explanation is that we will not be ready for any sort of instruction about how to navigate life with skill unless we are taught to long for the endless immensity of the sea. That is to say, for the endless immensity of God, for the infinite, bottomless beauty and mercy of Christ. About the longing, the love, the desire. Those are the foundations of wisdom that are being taught in these opening chapters. So we're going to get to, in particular, our heart in Proverbs chapter 3. Please pray with me. Lord, would you open your word up to us all? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. 1-8. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I wonder if you noticed how much body language there was. The head, the neck, the heart, the body weight of the leaning, walking on the paths, feet and legs, your flesh, which is to say in the Hebrew, it's navel. If you'd like to file that away. Healing to your navel, which you can understand the symbolism there, to your guts, your insides, your bones. But one is mentioned 3 times, and that's the heart. And so 3 times seems the perfect place to go for a 3-point sermon. We're going to look today at how the heart keeps, the heart records, and the heart trusts. Our first exhortation in the passage is to not forget the teaching. It says, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. And at first, it seems like it's just a two sides of the same issue sort of a thing, where it's don't forget the teachings, remember the commandments. But we don't have quite that. We have two different components. We do have the do not forget. Okay, that's the remember portion. And that's the head, the memory. And it's a knowledge category. We're to know things. We have to remember those things. This is very important. If you don't know the things, then you're kind of done before you start. But we are also to keep them. And we're to keep them in the heart. Knowing the right thing, doing the right thing are two different things. We all know that. And here's the kicker, really, for the passage. It's that wisdom is in the keeping. So the remembering is a knowledge category, a head category. We have to have that. But the keeping is in the heart. And so if you want to have wisdom, you've got to have a heart for it. A heart that desires and longs to bring that knowledge to bear on the complexities of everyday life. You know, if you know something, but it never gets put into action, it's really not helpful for you. That's not a wisdom pursuit. You're not no longer functioning out of that knowledge. It's just separate. And so what's important about the heart is that's really the seat of our motivations. Think about our quote earlier, the longing for the endless immensity of the sea. We operate out of that place, that center of our being. We don't have time maybe to go into it today, but I would commend to you the works of James K.A. Smith. He wrote on desiring the kingdom and another book called You Are What You Love, and has a lot of great information about how our hearts are really in the driver's seat. Another body of work is from Kurt Thompson. He's a neuroscientist. And he has really helped me think about the ways that we operate as individuals. And both of them are arguing the same thing, and they're arguing what I would say Proverbs 3 is saying, is that the heart is the heart of the matter. You can know the stuff. You can put the facts together. You can connect all the dots logically. But if it's never back behind that into the deepest seated parts of your soul, your longings, your desires, you're probably not going to build the boat. You're going to keep doing the things that those desires are steering you towards. And so I'm hoping that we're getting ourselves into this category that wisdom is not just about the what or the how. Those are important. But wisdom is also about a why, that driving force from the heart. And so as we go through our lives and we want to know, what do I do? How do I approach this? An equally valid and maybe more fundamental question is not what do I do, but what do I love? Where is my heart? What am I longing for? Who do I love? I don't know about you. My heart is not so great at the keeping. And I don't think it really takes much soul searching for us to recognize that our hearts are really a mixed bag. That we do long for God, we do love God, but we do long for and love a whole lot of other things too. My list, if you're interested, includes things like security, money, my reputation, having friends, making good grades, health, not being wrong, avoiding conflict, on and on. You can add on to that list of your own. And the reality kind of is that my actions have been carried out in my heart long before they've been carried out in my body. Because of what I love, what I long for, what I desire, what I'm aiming for is driving, and that's going to inform my words and my actions. And so the keeping of the wisdom in the heart is important, but how do you even do that? Verses 3 and 4 talk about the binding of something, an engraving onto the heart. And I think that's going to help us. It talks about what the heart records in the sense of writes down. It kind of takes note what the heart has on it. It says that we're to not let steadfast love and faithfulness forsake us, but to bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. There's an internal, external there. So just as we were talking about, what's in the heart is carried out and proclaimed externally. Okay, so what is it then? If this is going to be the thing, if we're going to take this inscription, right? This is a tablet, and that's to say a tablet of stone. You can think kind of Ten Commandments type of thing. And we're going to chisel this. This is not temporary pencil that we can put down and erase at will. This is a permanent engraving. So what is it? What's going to be the advice? What's the wisdom? What's the thing that I've got to stamp right on there and hold on to? It's not a piece of advice. It's not a proverb. It's not like the most important one of don't be a sluggard or watch your tongue. It's not that. It says steadfast love and faithfulness. And I would argue that is shorthand. And it's shorthand for the character of God. That exact phrasing is used a dozen or so times in the Old Testament in reference to how it is that God interacts, loves, and cares, and shepherds his people, his disposition to them. And so if that's the case, and there's hundreds of other places where steadfast love and faithfulness are referenced to God as well. So that's it permeates all of Scripture. But in this case, just this exact phrasing, a dozen or so more times, particularly in the Psalms, as to who God is, how we're to understand him and what he does, how he relates to us. So what's written on our hearts then is not advice. It's not a piece of wisdom. What's to be chiseled onto our heart is a person. And that's a very different thing. Your relationship with knowledge and proverbial wisdom is going to be markedly different than your relationship to a person. To sort of why I think this is really the case, just to highlight one of those places it occurs in the Old Testament, is in Exodus 34. You can turn there, if you'd like, stick your finger here in Proverbs, but just to give us a little bit of orientation, in Exodus 34, just before then, Moses has been up on Mount Sinai, he's received the Ten Commandments. He comes back down, and he sees that everybody who's been there has collected their belongings, they've thrown them in the fire, and they've made for themselves a statue of a calf out of gold. And they're now worshiping that. And understandably, Moses is a little bit irritated. And he takes the tablets and he throws them down, and they break. So in 34, he's instructed to go back up to Mount Sinai, and God says, I'm going to get you, cut more tablets, and I'm going to write these commandments on them myself. Picking up in 34, verse 4, it says, Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hands two tablets of stone, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. I am your God. You are my people. That's what we're to be engraving, chiseling into our hearts. The very character of God. And now we, on this side of the cross, we know that as the Holy Spirit flings open the doors of our hearts to be these temples for Christ to come in, we have him in our hearts. And what is it that we sing and before the throne of God above? My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. We can't walk a path of wisdom perfectly. We cannot keep the things that it asks us to keep, just like we don't keep the commandments as we're asked to keep them. The fullness of living in this complex world with skill and perfection is not something that we're in pursuit of. We are in pursuit of a relationship with the one who has kept it all for us. When we start to behold the endless immensity of the sea, we're going to figure out how to build a boat. When we behold the endless beauty and mercy and love and graciousness of Christ, to pay the penalty we should have paid, although living the life that we should have lived, suddenly the desire to walk toward him and to walk in his ways begins to emerge. The shape from our heart outwards externally. What's close to us in here starts broadcasting out there. The steadfast love and faithfulness that never forsakes us, we want to cling and hold on to cherish. And so if wisdom is not just a what question or a how question, but it's also a who category, and if the only who that it can be is Jesus, we have nothing but to trust on him. In verse 5, it says, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path, he will make straight your paths. If we take the who out of it, and we think we can just jump into Proverbs, we can jump into wisdom, and you can just flip through the pages, find the thing that you need to know, and apply it, put it in this what do I do and how do I do it, you just give me the rules and I'll follow them, we're going to mess that up. And we're also going to slip into a place where it's, I can do this category. I don't have to live by faith. I can just do the things. It's up to me. If it's up to you, and that weight falls here, suddenly you're not living out of the fear of the Lord. You're living out of the fear of failure. I cannot mess this up. I have got to get it together. I have got to check my 401k. I have got to do something about my kids. I have got to get on top of this, or we're all sunk. We're not to do that. We are to trust the Lord completely. The fear of the Lord, that is the pursuit and living in light of his steadfast love and faithfulness, to trust him completely. It's important to see, this is brand new to me, but I'm still going to share it with you because I think there's something here. The contrast in this metaphor in verses 5 and 6 is not so much one that I would suggest maybe to think about as left-right, okay? Don't lean on this, your own understanding. Just shift your weight and lean on the Lord. Okay, are we to rely on God? Yes. Are we to trust in him? Yes. Okay, but that's not quite the way the metaphor is working here, I don't think. I don't think it's simply a shifting of weight. Okay, I think it works a little bit more back to front. Do not lean on your own understanding. If I had like a brick wall outside of a school building, you know, that stance, foot up there, your arms crossed, kind of like, you know, leather jacket. I'm getting off track. The point is, you know what that is like, right? Leaning on your own understanding. We're not to do that, but trust in the Lord is movement. It's not stationary. As you see in verse 6, the contrast is don't lean, don't be still, and just hang out where you are in your own understanding, because it's not going to go well for you. You're to trust in the Lord. That's propelling forward. He is not going to leave you where you are. Verse 6, in all of your ways, acknowledging him as he makes straight your paths. It's directional. It's forward. We're going somewhere. We're going with Jesus. And so you could, you know, you could rely on your own intellect to some degree. You could try that. But my assumption is that it's going to be a little bit more paralyzing and isolating than a walk with the Lord who says, come, follow me. Because then wisdom gets put into action. You're trusting in the one who has made you and called you and all of the paths that he has set before you. And in that sort of action, then the keeping takes place because you're engaging in life. You're moving forward in faith and not just trying to camp out where you think you can get it together, where I think if I just did X, then I'd be on top of it and I could save myself. It made me think about Peter in the Gospels. Peter's on a boat and Jesus is out on the water and he's walking upon the water. We know that Peter gets out and he walks on the water and then starts to sink. But the thought I had was how did Peter walk on the water? Trusting in Jesus, yes. Setting his eyes upon Jesus, yes. And then it dawned on me that I had forgotten the obvious. How did Peter walk on the water? He got out of the boat. Jesus is there, and he said, I want to go to him. Right? There's got to be movement with faith. Randy was just talking about pairs, you know, faith and works. You can know the things and believe the things, and if it's in the heart, it's going to make you go and do things. Internal, external. Written on the heart, bind it around your neck like a locket, you know, for all to see. Who is it that you love in that locket? Well, let me tell you about who's in my heart. There may be places today that you spend a lot of time relying on your intellect. And I hope it's an encouragement today to consider that you're being called forward. And, you know where those places are. And I'm not saying that this gives any sort of permission to just do what you'd like and shirk responsibilities and forget about the what and the how and all the important things for the reasons we have a brain and these wisdom books. But what I am saying is that a heart that is set on the Lord is a wise heart and a heart that's after God's own heart. And when you seek him, as it says in Scripture, if you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. So rather than an acknowledging, to say, I've chosen this path, God, now acknowledge me. That's the opposite of verse, where is it, 6. That's, in all your ways, God, acknowledge me and what I've decided and what I want and my desires and longings. But no, if you seek him with your heart, you find him. That's a knowing him in a way that will lead you in the right path. If your feet are set towards the cross and towards the empty tomb, you're going in the right direction. So you could stand still in the fear of your own intellect, but the exhortation I think here is to move our feet at the pace of wisdom in the direction of Jesus. Acknowledging him as he sets our paths straight before us. Doesn't mean that those are not difficult paths. Straight path doesn't necessarily mean easy going. But it's the path he's laid in front of you. And you can walk on it because you're trusting in the path maker. Why can we trust him? Because he walked this earth and he walked it with all wisdom. He kept every command in his heart. And he kept them for you. He kept it for me. And it was so primary, so close to his heart, you and your name and your being, he didn't think twice about his love for you. We will forget. We'll lose track. We will graffiti our hearts with a whole bunch of different stories. But as we're just about to sing, as we walk this path of wisdom with Jesus, yoked to him, day by day, he will renew us until we stand with joy before his throne. And so let's walk this path of wisdom together, yoked with Jesus, trusting that he will lead us through this life and on into life everlasting.